B-Pod Studios.
What's up, Al?
Yeah, baby. Right in front of Bobby Kraft.
So I call him Mr. Lemonade.
That is a good one. Chris Forsberg covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Chris Forsberg.
What up, what up? What's going down?
I've heard your travel schedule has just been a delight.
I think I did 18 flights in May. And so that was different after being off the road for 2 years. So yeah, my immune system is trying to hang in there.
Yeah, because did you or did you not after game two have to take a 1:10 a.m. flight out of San Francisco?
I was on the 11:59, I believe.
Much different.
Through New York and then to my lovely Worcester. So shout out to Worcester Airport for being a thing again.
Wait, are you closer to Worcester or Logan?
I am 5 minutes from Worcester Airport.
Oh, okay. Oh, and you drive in like all the time to do the.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Now, does that just you just love Worcester so much, or is it a financial thing? Or
who wouldn't? You know.
Yeah. No. I actually do. I'm like Worcester's biggest advocate. So I grew up in the bordering town, Auburn, and I've never left. And so I'd never taken a commercial flight out of Worcester because I never had a commercial airline for most of my life here. And then a couple years ago, JetBlue came in, and now they go to New York, and now you can get to the rest of the world. So as much as I love Logan and all the traffic and the $90 tolls and $84 a day parking, come on out to Worcester, free parking. I could be like the tourist bureau if you need like an infomercial right now.
Have they named a street after you yet?
there is a Forsberg Street in Worcester. It is not named after me.
How many times have you stolen the sign?
great story. I've always dreamed about stealing the sign, and then one day I drove past and it was gone, and I was like, oh my god, like someone else beat me to the punch. And then they put it back up, but they misspelled it. And it didn't change. It didn't change for like a year. Like, if you lived there, wouldn't you be mad that the street did just morph names? Finally, they fixed it. So now I can go steal it.
All right. Finally. I mean, yes.
If there's another goon in the area that would like to do it for me, I can give you my home address to drop it off.
Well, I don't know how far back your people go in Worcester. I mean, you could have relatives you don't even know about just scanning the streets. All right, Boston did. There was a third quarter comeback, and you know we know Golden State is a good third quarter team. What's your feeling going into Game Four in terms of the way that things played out in Game Three? Change your thinking on this series at all? I guess I should ask.
Got no idea.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like from a night to night basis, I have no. Whenever they're ahead in a series, I get I'm like weirdly pessimistic. It does feel a little bit different. I think I really like the way they bounce back from Game Two, but we got to see it. And so there is some historical notion that sometimes you grind through. I think about the 2008 team having to go seven games the first couple rounds, and then something just kind of clicked, and they take down Detroit in that third round and get through the Lakers. Quicker than, you know, than grinding through there. Can the Celtics sort of can they figure out that they should make their lives a little bit easier? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Ime is screaming at them about all these things, but sometimes young teams just gotta go through it. And so I'm sort of braced myself for seven games, but it would be refreshing if they could understand the magnitude of what tonight means and try to put together a 48 minute game in which they don't turn it over haphazardly and don't fall asleep in the third quarter for 6 minutes. And if they do that, I think they have an excellent chance of putting themselves in, you know, can queuing up those duck boats.
I don't know how many times in the last two rounds, this one and the one before, where I've looked at both teams and said, you're not this bad. Like, it's not like this is not going to be something that's going to happen in the next game. And almost every single time I've been proven correct. Nope. They were able to fix their mistakes. Heck, we all thought Jimmy Butler was dead until he wasn't, you know, in the last round. And then, you know, in this one, when you watched what the Celtics were able to pull off, not only at the beginning, because they've been coming out hot in a few of these games, but also in that fourth quarter where they were just able to absolutely lock down the Golden State Warriors defensively. Do you believe that that's something that is sustainable, or are you saying once again to the Golden State Warriors, they're not that bad?
No, I mean, it's always somewhere in the middle, right? But yeah. I do think in the bigger picture, the Celtics are the better team. I have the same feeling I had through the first three rounds of the playoffs, where if the Celtics are engaged, if they don't shoot themselves in the foot, I think they should win the series. That doesn't always happen. And as we saw in game two, you have a team that's been through this that can ramp it up a little bit when it has to, that isn't overwhelmed by falling behind, has played its own best basketball when their backs are against the wall. So there's always sort of that possibility that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson just go nuts, and even this series, and then it goes back out there, and we're not nearly as optimistic as we sit here when the Celtics are up 2-1 with a chance to take control of this series. But I do think if the Celtics have a healthy Robert Williams, if they play defense anywhere near the level they did for that fourth quarter and much of that game, they should win the series. And so much of that hinges on health, and you know, but it is weird. Like, the Celtics have navigated this whole postseason, and a lot of these times I'm sitting here going, man, they haven't played anywhere near their best basketball. At the end of the season, they're not even close to that level. And yet the competition is good, and you got to account for that. But I keep waiting for the big Jason Tatum game.
Yeah.
And right. That hasn't happened this series. I think there's just another level they can go to. And now the flip argument to that is, you know, Steph Curry, probably as good as he's been, could still have an even better game. And Klay Thompson could have a crazy game. So that's why these games are fun. And but if the Celtics can just sort of focus in for a couple hours tonight, you feel pretty good about them.
Where do you land on the so-called controversy with the Celtics fans after game three?
It's so dumb. Like, I mean, it's sports. Can we stop acting like holier than thou, that people are chanting some stuff and it's like the end of the world? And
why now is the weird thing?
Because we have nothing else
because
to do.
I know, because there's too much time. It's so much time.
And this
it's
is
so
the
nauseating.
Shortest time between games of the entire series right here.
Which, thank God, right? Like, yes. If I had to do 2 days of this, I would be pulling my hair out. But no, it's just, I don't know. Like, do I love that we're known for Yankee sucks and FU chants and all that? Like, I mean, it's not great, but like, it's also just sports. Like, let's calm down.
Sure.
It's just so dumb.
It just seemed like but John was right. John said it best. It's just, you know, they're pissed off after a loss and they're asked about it. Maybe so tell the media not to ask them about it so much. Maybe
don't have to worry about me asking about it.
No, I know you're not going to tell the other members of the media not to ask about it, because, I'll tell you, it does sometimes feel like, you know, UConn women's basketball has run the same offense for 20 years and dominated the game, and Syracuse has run the same
the 2-3 zone. Yeah.
The 2-3 zone for their entire time, and there's just not enough to analyze in between these games. You know, go ahead.
100%. Like, even I sit here saying, like, what else can we write about? And, I mean, shouts to everybody out there that's writing like really interesting stories, and maybe I need to up my writing game again. But you know, it's very much, whether it's the travel between games, and I mean, it's so hard to come up with fresh and interesting topics. And I guess that's, we just go for the low hanging fruit.
All right, so Chris, let me ask you a non basketball related question. Just, I mean, the actual X's and O's, at least. How much does this team pick on Grant Williams? There's this video that just came out where I saw it yesterday, where Ime Udoka, I guess it was when they were at practice, saw a television camera then, which is like, Grant, go do push-ups in front of them. And then he like made him do it in front of another one.
Everyone would be psyched for the offseason. Like, all right, enough, Grant, go somewhere else.
You have spent time with him. You're around the team. Like, how much do they just like bust on the guy all the time?
What I thought was funny was I was watching yesterday, and again, we haven't seen a lot of practices this year, but so there are two different sides. They obviously have on the garden floor, and on one side is all the veteran dudes like Tatum, Brown, Rob, all the starters, Marcus, you know, everyone, Al. And on the other side is the guys that all came in midseason, all these guys that are just, you know, bringing the bench energy, but happy to be there. And in the middle of them is Grant. And I honestly think it's because the veterans are like, no, man, you're going down there. Like, we can't deal with you. Like, down there, go wrestle them, go chat. And no, like, I think they both appreciate what Grant brings in terms of energy and chattiness, but also everyone has that moment where they're like, all right, man, enough.
Right,
you know? Yeah. So and it's a good balance, because he's a good sport about it too. Like, he knows he's annoying. So when Ime tells him to go do push-ups, he just goes and does it. And what's best is that as much as he's goofy like it, about that, like he can go up a level. He is a different player on the court. And while he's chatty, it's not fun. It's like he really wants to win. And so credit to Grant. Like I think sometimes guys struggle to sort of find their way in the NBA and be in their own skin. And Grant hasn't had a trouble with that, even if everyone kind of wants to clothesline him.
Yeah, he's found his niche. He's like the annoying nerd of the group, but at least he stands out in a way. But he's a good player too. But there was one thing that happened at the game, though, before game three started. And I want to know how common this is. Golden State shows up. They look at the rim and they see that it doesn't look like it's the right size. They feel that it might be higher than the standard 10 feet. And sure enough, they go out and measure it, and yeah, it's 2 inches higher than it should be, which obviously is, it's massive. If it's 2 inches off, that could affect everybody's shot. So how often, Chris, does that happen where the goals aren't where they need to be? And do you sense at all that there was any kind of shenanigans?
Ghost of Red Auerbach.
No. I do love the whole Red Auerbach thing. So I read a tweet yesterday that said someone saying there's like construction going on outside the Golden State Hotel, and that like somehow someone knew that Klay Thompson and Steph Curry's room abut the construction. I'm like, come on,
it starts at 8:30. I read the same thing. Yeah,
it's like that's a little much. I love the Ghost of Red stories as much as anybody, but I think we sometimes look for these things. You know what? I can't say it's super common, but I won't say it's the first time I've seen it happen. I think especially in an arena like Boston where it's constant changeover and you have to reset the hoops. And when you have Robert Williams dunking on that thing for 48 minutes a night, there is some flex. It just happens. And we've seen things like the net coming undone during the season that led to a 40 minute delay for no apparent reason. But yeah, like it's funny when it gets noticed, because I'm sure they've played games where it's been 10 foot, 1 inch, and just people just don't, I mean, you just don't notice that thing. They noticed it in this instance. One thing I'll say is everyone complains. It's like, oh my God, they're trying to shenanigans. And it's like, well, they both would have had to shoot at that basket.
Okay, Chris, that's where it gets fun, because I was saying the same thing. I was like, okay, well, you know, it would just be, they would flip over, and why would they do that? But then there was a conspiracy theory is that
it was mine.
There's Fred's, which I enjoyed, was that there was some sort of lever or switch that could subtly lower it to its normal. And at first I laughed it off. But then again, have you looked at all of the crap that is on the back, like underneath the hoop, all of the TV cameras and cords and things? I mean, at any given moment, I guarantee there could be some sort of person posing as like an engineer who could go and
twice
tap
a week.
And no one would care.
I just know I had to go to Oak Hill Middle School and raise the rims, and I had a key to raise the rims, expert.
I don't believe this is like the grammar school where the basket folds down from the wall or anything like that.
No, no.
You use the broomstick to lift it up.
No, not folding down. But, no. These are automated. They move with the turn of a key.
I would just say there is too much time between games, and y'all need to stay off Kyrie Irving's Instagram stories where he's looking for conspiracies and all that. I love the notion, and again, it would make for an amazing book if these things were true. But my guess is someone just messed up and couldn't read their ruler.
Hey, Chris, there was one other controversy, which I'm actually on the side of the Golden State Warriors. So I guess when both teams showed up for their first shoot around, they're on the court together. There was it's one of the TV networks had set up their broadcast on the court. Now, usually the way it is that the whole setup is, you know, in the center, equally on both sides of the court. But in this case, it was almost all the way on the other side of the half court thing onto the Golden State Warriors side. And the Golden State Warriors bitched about it. And there was a bunch of people going, but a bunch of complainers. Hell no, I don't want that. You want to take up part of my these guys, they have an actual very important game to get ready for, and you're going to take up part of their spot? Now, do you think that was shenanigans on the part of the Celtics?
I'm thinking that was in San Francisco, because I remember the NBA TV setup was more on the Warriors warm-up side.
That's right, yes. Necessarily,
yeah, but, I mean, so look, it's your home court. Go tell them to move. I guess I don't know how easily those sets break down, but I mean, they get it out of there pretty quickly before the game. So I suspect it could be done. I guess I just keep going back to the same thing with all these things. We have way too much time. Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Like I'll take that stuff. Like that stuff's fine. Conspiracy theories, I'm all in. I'll never turn them down.
It is a long, long, long slog through these playoffs. There's no question about it. Well, Chris, they do play tonight. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the
how are you
chicken
feeling?
Head guy.
Just real quick, how are you feeling about tonight? Like, what's your feel? Because I've said I think Golden State's going to win it.
You said he didn't know.
Yeah, he has no clue.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to get a feel for tonight.
No, but honestly, strangely optimistic.
Okay.
I want to be on the, like, I don't know what's going to happen, because if I had to bet something, I would be very fearful. But there's something about that last game that makes me suspect that maybe they're finally figuring it out, and then you can call me tomorrow and I'll be banging my head against the desk in front of me.
I can assure you we will not be here tomorrow. Chris Worcester's own, the child of Worcester, Chris Forsberg, thank you so much for joining us. Watch him tonight on NBC Sports Boston. Thank you.
And then come hang out at Worcester Airport.
That's right.
I've been there. My wife forgot to book us tickets to Tennessee for Christmas one year, and they had to book us through Worcester.
So, wasn't it delightful?
I was so angry at my wife that it didn't matter.
I'm thinking it wasn't that big of a time from the terminal to the plane, so it wasn't a lot of time.
I was just like, she goes, I guess I didn't hit the button, and it was like Christmas Eve, and I'm like, we have to get to Tennessee.
Oh, boy.
All right. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate it.
Later, y'all.
All right, see
later.
You, man.
There you go. Chris Forsberg. Lots and lots and lots of basketball.
I'd love to fly out of a place as small as Worcester.
Like that. Hey, come to Knoxville. There's 10 gates.
I told you. Smallest airport I ever flew out of was Bellingham,
Washington.
You flew
to Savannah.
Oh, no. There's nothing better than flying into a place like Panama City, where there's like two, there might be four gates in Panama City.
I can do you one better. Bellingham, Washington, north of Seattle. Went there. The same person, you know, gave me my ticket, ushered me through security, took my boarding pass, and ushered me out onto the plane.
Well, when I worked...
Same person.
When I worked...
Two gates.
When I worked for Craddock, we had like these affiliates and these little map dots, and sometimes we would go and we would visit them, and I remember there was one, it was like Monroe, Louisiana, and we took this puddle jumper. I mean, it was tiny.
Yeah, that's the thing. I got onto a prop plane when I got onto the tarmac.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, you get off, you're onto the tarmac, and there might be... I don't even know if there's two gates. I think it was just, here's the gate to fly out of here.
Key West used to be the coolest airport, and you had to take a prop plane, and there was one or two gates, and they did have water taxi. You could do that. I've never done it. I want to, but I've never done it. But that was one way to get in, and you could only, and to my recollection, you could only fly from Miami to Key West, and they just had a, and then it was a bar and a gate, and that's all. Famously, Key West, like they said, you gotta have a bar, and so there was a bar and a gate. I think you had to sit at the bar because there was no other place to sit if you were waiting for your plane.
I actually flew into Barnstable, or actually Hyannis, one time because...
Oh, of course, all those trips to the Cape.
Well,
yeah.
A bird hit the front of our windshield, and I happened to be sitting in the front in one of those prop planes, and it started like cracking, and just pilot, give him all the credit in the world, he just very calmly just landed that thing, and there they are sitting at the Hyannis Airport, which once again has like two or three gates as well.
And I like when you're on a plane that small because they can always get your luggage on it. There's never a weight issue. The first time I ever came to Boston, I had to fly on Cape Air back to Boston from Nantucket, and I had to wait for my baggage for, I think, a day.
Well, the best is when you see people waiting in line get all offended because the people behind the counter say, how much do you weigh?
Yep.
And like the women are like, what? Yeah, well, we have to know in order to find out which side of the plane to sit you on.
Yeah, hey, fat.
So it doesn't flip over as you fly off.
That shows you the structural integrity of those planes. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now,
that's hard on the ears.
More Tusher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oof, I don't care for that at all.
got our beefs, bro.
Yo, what's up, guys?
David Pastrnak. Will he still be a Bruin? We shall see.
Oh, my God.
John's all excited because tonight he's got he's going over to someone's house. He's got stuff to do.
Yeah. Oh, actually, it's Dungeons and Dragons Friday?
No, no. It's a friend of mine's birthday. We're going to his house. He's throwing a party for his own birthday. Go celebrate
pizza?
With him. Watch a Celtic
card
game. No actual beer will be at this event, gentlemen. Beer.
He's gonna be ripping. He's gonna be ripping beers and just he's just having a time of his life.
That's right.
Yeah. My son's got a game tonight. He's got two games on Saturday. My daughter's got a game on Saturday. My daughter's got a game right there at 3 o'clock on Sunday. Why not? Why do anything? It's going to be a nice weekend. We get like four of them a year. Just plop a softball game right there at 3 o'clock on Sunday.
It doesn't blow up the day or anything.
No. You're fine. It's a perfect time for it.
How is it not over yet? Like, all the kids are getting out of school and stuff.
Baseball never ends.
Travel soccer ends tomorrow for me.
Right. Okay, so my son, I guess it's kind of a good thing. He's never been on a team this good before for his travel, so they're like in a tournament that they're going to probably, that they could win.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's playing summer baseball because he's not going to camp. But then they put him on some all-star team
mm-hmm.
that plays separately. So if his travel team wins this weekend, he's going to be playing on three teams. But I didn't sign him up for the all-star team. But I don't know. He's on it. And so this is going to go on. Now, I have to imagine soccer's over on Saturday. Now, soccer is fine because soccer is at soccer's at noon on Saturday. And it's at the same place every week.
Yeah.
Like, my daughter doesn't care. She didn't try.
You see, it changed it for me. That's
well, no. But my daughter's playing, like, the lowest possible level of soccer.
Okay.
She doesn't play travel.
Our own Mike Lockhart travels to different states for these things.
It's what, well, no, but this is one of the, like, things that I'll never see these parents again in my life.
I understand.
Like, these parents are living on different planets. Like, they're library people and stuff. Like, they're, like, people that... They're, like, people that, like, take advantage of...
bookworms.
Like, you know, do you ever see something they'll be, like, you know, like, Natick Arts Day, and, like, you'll be, like, and you just completely ignore it? These are the kind of people that, like, go to that stuff.
Okay.
Like they take in the community. Like,
sure.
Like, if I go to Newton Center and someone's, like, laid down a blanket, like, on the patch of grass there...
Library people, where is your taste?
Like,
this sounds fun. No.
Did your kids ever, when your kids were really little, did they play basketball at the Y?
My son still does.
And there would be a kid that, like, showed up with jeans and a sweater on.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're never going to see his parents again. They live in a different planet. Like, now the kid probably is going to end up at MIT and, you know, become
own thing. Your son and daughter works for you.
Like, I'm not belittling the families at all. I'm just saying that my daughter, and it's better because my daughter plays soccer, like, with people that, like, are not athletic, and they're never going to pursue this in any way. My daughter's not going to pursue this. Softball is a little bit different. But at my son's age, it appears that if you want to do anything, this is what has to happen. And I'm not paying for this stuff. I paid for the travel,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have to pay, I don't believe, for this team that he was put on. So I don't know what the hell is going on.
Well, I've got two kids, and one of them has like a week and a half left of school. And if you take a look at it, it's all... like, field trip to a museum,
yes.
An amusement park.
Yeah, Canopy Lake, baby.
They're going there, going to like a park. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. But then, because of the stupid snow season that we had, there was one day where it was just too cold so kids can go to school. So my kids have on that Monday, that final Monday, a half day of school because they have to fill the requirement. But what's ironic
is that... You should send them because they'll learn a lot.
The Friday before it, there is a half day of school. So instead of taking two half days and making it so you could go out of town a weekend earlier, no, they have to show up on Monday for literally a half day of school.
We have that on a Tuesday. It's weird.
Do you realize, unless it's like a graduation day,
Don't send him to school. That I mean, it's gonna just it's just the act of them entering the building and then leaving the building.
So basically, here was the scientific experiment that my wife did, and I actually agreed with it. It was that she asked the parents of like all of his friends whether or not they were actually going, and if all of them would have said no, or if someone would have said no, we probably would have kept him home. But there's the guilt. There was the guilt. It's like, well, okay, well, maybe there's something really important that happens, and I kept telling my wife, no. Nothing's going to happen on the last half day of school.
We just get these emails from my son from these very nice teachers going, you know, your son better get this work done because things aren't going well if he doesn't get this in. And then we go, hey, why haven't you done this work? And he goes, duh.
Then now it's depressing because, like, you know, when your kids come home from summer, is there nothing worse than when they have, like, a big stack of books that they've got to read and they've got, like, summer assignments?
My son has claimed to have read The Outsiders, and I can guarantee you he's never done that. My son has never read a book. My son has never read a book. And we did for 2 years. For 2 years, 5 days a week, we turned off everything and made him look at a book.
Mm-hmm.
And he would literally look at the book for a half an hour without reading it. He would just—he knows how to read,
dude. I empathize. I
love to. I'm always reading. See, I'm reading constantly. My daughter will read a little bit.
Fred, I empathize with him because when I was his age, like I figured out a way to get stuff right without having to read because I think I'm. It's funny. There's a lot of stuff that I'm realizing I probably was. Dyslexic's one of them. I fit every different thing that fits in for being dyslexic. I can't read. I hate reading unless it's in short forms because my head explodes.
Right.
And so I totally feel what Milo is feeling, is that you start to read and you're just like, I can't do it, man. I can't do this.
Yeah, he doesn't have dyslexia. I don't want to get into it. But he doesn't have a learning disability, but like it's...
And it might not even be what it was for me, but I just hated reading.
But and when I say he hasn't read a book, like he's read things, like obviously.
Sure, just like I have.
But if you're telling me, has he sat down and read like a novel or a work of nonfiction from cover to cover, there's no way.
You want me to get anxiety? Hand me a novel and tell me I have to read it.
He told me he read The Outsiders, and I asked him a bunch of questions about it, and he knew, but I don't think he read the book.
Dude, I went to school and told the guy I read The Right Stuff book because I'd seen the movie. The Right Stuff is like 900 pages.
Oh, yeah,
because
it's by Tom Wolfe. I read A Man in Full by Tom Wolfe. It was like 1,000 pages. I read it when I worked at a restaurant no one went into. I just sat and read A Man in Full. I read in Atlanta. I know.
Which job was this?
I worked at a sports bar that no one went into.
This is in Atlanta?
Yeah, and I can remember like it being like nice outside and reading A Man in Full, like going, well, I might as well take this with me. Yeah. But yes, I read. I'm always reading. I read. I have 3 books at a time that I'm reading, and I'm always reading books, and it has not rubbed off on my children. That's it is not rubbed off on my children. So there's Bertrand on TV. Why doesn't everyone else at the station get another endorsement while we sit here?
See, the salespeople are never here to ask us. That's part of the problem.
If they're here in the afternoon, I don't get it. All right.
Somebody said my kids are at the point where I asked, what did you do today at school? And they say, watched movies. Yeah, the last 2 weeks of school are just field trips and museums and watching TV. Yeah.
It's interesting because...
Not for my son. the last 2 weeks... My kids' teachers have been great, and I really applaud them for doing this. Mm-hmm. But, like, they're like... He's got, like, Spanish, which he's never going to be good at. And then something else that they're like, dude, you really got to do this work or you're screwed. I mean, it's middle school, but... Probably like him walking out of there with, you know, without like a bunch of D's. Like, you know, like, hey, can you?
He'll do fine.
No, he'll be fine. He'll get the work in. But they give you chances. It's the COVID kids, man. Mm-hmm. Got to give them a break.
That's right.
They had those 2 years where everything was a foul. But people are like, he hasn't read a book. I swear to God, for a year, for 5 days a week, maybe it was 20 minutes, but we, for 20 minutes, would have the two of them sit there with only a book, and I would read, and Stephanie would read, if only one of us was there, and he would sit there and just stare at a book. Maybe he is read Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I take that back. He is maybe read Diary of a Wimpy Kid. But other than that, no.
Because that's written in a cool, there's like cartoons and stuff inside of it.
That he's read. I do believe he has read some books in that series. But in terms of a book that's just words, no.
So he's the LeBron James of middle school. He just opens up the first page of The Godfather and stares at it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because I mean, that's exactly what he is. He is. So every time we make fun of LeBron James, I'm in turn making fun of my son. He is just sitting there.
Except one brags about having read it and couldn't answer one simple question about The Godfather when asked.
No, I said, I've read The Outsiders. I've seen the movie a couple of times. I asked him a bunch of questions about it. He knew him, so I said, but I don't believe you read it. All right, what's coming up in the old stackaroo?
You know what? We'll play that LeBron Godfather clip, which is one of my all-time favorites. On top of that, Fred, your favorite ex-Celtic wanted to prove to the world that he's just a regular guy who loves the dead. On top of that, the PGA puts a foot down and says, y'all, you people doing the Saudi Arabia stuff, you are not welcome.
How about Jim McBride just getting paid to go and play on the course the other day?
That doesn't suck.
Jim McBride got paid to play the U.S. Open course, which whatever. Like, I'm not like a golf nerd, but it would be like cool if there. And the article was just he just wrote a sentence about each hole.
Mm-hmm.
It's no big deal.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right. Good work if you could get it. All right. We'll be right back. Hear that.
Speaker. It's TNR.
It really is just a reality check. It's just how no one cares.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
All right, we are Toucher and Rich, and this is how we end the show. What's going on, Rich?
Can I just say real quick to listener Anthony, I love you, Anthony. You are someone who has been very active on contacting us on Twitter and stuff like that. We will get to your fart court that you sent us eventually. This guy every day is like, have you not played my fart court yet? I promise. I mean, listen, I love fart court as much as anybody, but it's something you got to let breathe. You can't do too many fart courts at once.
No.
You know, you have to
be not funny.
Well, yeah, you want to wait. And you know what? I to be honest, you can't plan on the calendar when you're going to do fart court. You just feel it in your bones.
Yeah. You feel that you're right. Today we need to. It's like when the big wigs are listening. It's like it's time to bring out Farquhar.
That's when you bust out the big cannons.
When corporate's in
town. Pun intended. Absolutely. When you got them all listening.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I talked about how LeBron James he's always reading the first page of The Godfather, and he did it for years. As a matter of fact, there is every once in a while we get copied on this pretty funny like clip montage that's going around. And the reason is because we talked about it on our TV show one time, and it says Touch and Rich at the bottom. And there is four different scenes from four different playoff runs of LeBron reading The Godfather, and he's on the first page in every single one of them. Now, somebody finally asked LeBron James, hey, LeBron, what is your favorite line from The Godfather? Is that it right there?
It is a question not related to the game, but since it has been a lot of publicity yesterday and today about Godfather Part 2, which is the scene or the moment or the phrase or the quote you like more from the movie?
Oh, from The Godfather. It's too many different phrases and too many different lines in that movie to just categorize one.
But which is the one which inspirates you, represents you more?
I mean, each movie is 9 hours long. I mean, what do you want me to do? I mean, there's so many. I don't know. I'll let you pick one, and I'll roll with it. It's a great trilogy.
Eddie, name one.
Yeah, it's hard.
Leave one. Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Yeah, I did. I hadn't seen this. I got an offer that I can't refuse. I had not seen The Godfather probably until I was late 30s, early 40s. And I could have quoted 17 lines from the movie before I ever saw it.
Well, I love how he says, well, you know, I don't know what I'm going to choose. Each one's 9 hours long. First of all, each one isn't 9 hours long. Second of all, if it was 9 hours long, then you'd have 27 hours worth of choices in lines that you could have used.
Like, how do you live in the United States? And it's The Godfather's constantly referenced and constantly, it just, all the time.
It's there everywhere.
He is truly not bright in some ways.
Well, Fred, I want you to, well, he's a billionaire now, so there you go. And he wants to open up a professional basketball team in Vegas, which, by the way, sounds like a great idea, and LeBron would be a perfect owner. Now, it's going to cost more than $1 billion.
No.
Because we know the price of NBA franchises.
Timberwolves
now.
Just sold, I think, for $1.5 billion, and they're low end.
Yeah.
So.
No, Portland signed for sold for $3 billion.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, what you do is you borrow the money that you don't have to be taxed on, and then you make all your money, and then you don't have to pay taxes, and that's how billionaires do it.
It'd be perfect, and Vegas would want that. Having a big name like LeBron James be the partial owner of a team out there, it makes way too much sense.
And we could pretend that people are moving to Vegas. it's this huge enclave of people live there.
But they've learned that that doesn't matter.
I understand.
Is that it's because Fred, you and I had this discussion. Like, why would, you know, I originally thought, why would someone go to a hockey game out in Vegas when there's so much great things to do in Vegas? Well, sure enough, a million people started going out to Vegas to go see hockey games. That became successful. Apparently, the Raiders now, I told you when I went out there, and the Eagles fans were everywhere. One guy was actually in a pool with a Raiders or a Eagles jersey on, which I thought was probably par for the course with the Eagles fan. But now it made me want to go out there to go see the Patriots play. So what I thought was ridiculous now works. And if you have an NBA team there, I guarantee you it's going to be an easy sell as long as they can figure out some sort of parity and open it up in the East. There's got to be, don't you have to balance it out? You got to have an Eastern team to balance out the Western?
So. Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know where you would go.
Montreal.
Maybe you put a second team in Boston.
That's
perfect.
Right.
Let's do that.
Sure. There's enough mass holes to go around.
There used to be two back when my grandfather was alive.
There used to be two baseball teams.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There used to be two.
Before, when the railroad ended.
That's right.
Well, if you saw a guy who looked like he accidentally wandered into the TD Garden and somehow was very feral looking, that would be, of course, Mr. Bill Walton. But Bill Walton didn't just take some fancy schmancy car to go there. No, he is a Grateful Dead listening man of the people. He took the T.
Tonight, the scoop. Celtics. Here we go. Whoa.
It's a destination.
Whoa. Celtics, yeah. Here we go, Celtics. Oh, man, they got all the new train cars, man. They don't rock anymore.
So that's him filming himself?
No, somebody's filming him as he's getting off the tee.
Or someone he knows is filming him, obviously. That is a man who thought a lot more people were going to recognize him. That is a man who thought everyone's going to go, I can't believe Bill Walton's on the train, but instead everyone went, I am of an age where I have no idea who you are.
All right, here's the question. Was he wearing his own uniform? I saw he was wearing a Celtics shirt. Was he wearing his old number 5 uniform?
I don't think
just
he was.
Just to kind of add to it, hey, it says Walton on the back.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was, but it was probably some psychedelic number that he patched together. But I just,
because the music never stops, man.
Yeah, music never stops, man. I thought that was where do we have those Grateful Dead songs that don't even seem like songs? Remember those? It was just some guy going.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know who does make music, and it's excellent? Britney Spears. She was arrested, or not arrested, her ex-husband was arrested after crashing her wedding. I don't know if you remember this, but for a hot minute, do you remember how she went to Vegas with a guy named Jason Alexander back in the day? It was actually when she was one of the biggest stars in the world.
He was on Seinfeld.
What is federal? And the hot stays hot.
Yes.
And the cool stays cool.
That was when he was doing the McDLT commercial.
Right. He wanted the world to know that your lettuce just gets way too hot when it's on a burger for too long.
That's true.
This guy, Jason Alexander, showed up for Britney Spears' wedding that she was about to have, and live streamed the entire thing. Here's how it goes from walking in to getting tackled.
Hey, where's Britney at? Hey, tell me the truth. Where's Britney at? Britney! No. Hey, Britney!
Get out,
bro.
No, get out.
You gotta leave. Don't put your hands on me. Don't put your hands on me. Please don't put your hands on me.
You have to leave.
Hey, where's Britney at, bro? I'm Jason Alexander, first husband.
Oh,
I'm here to crash the wedding, bro. That. So here's the inside scoop, guys, of the bullshit wedding. Jason Alexander, what's up? Who are you?
What's up? Michael.
Michael, that's Michael, guys. It's Jason, first husband, here to crash it. Now, my name's Jason Alexander. Brittany invited me here. Britney Spears invited me here. She's my first wife, my only wife. I'm her first husband. I'm here to crash the wedding because nobody's here but Sam. So where the f*** is the family and where's the... There's Cade right there. Cade! Cade! Come here, Cade!
And that's the moment where he gets tackled and Britney Spears' security realizes that they're all going to get fired.
Well, now I know that I want to follow this guy for the rest of his life. I want to.
Sure.
What's he up to next?
Sing a Grateful Dead. That's the sound of Felger smiling and sitting back in the old...
Is he a dead guy?
Yeah, he likes to Grateful Dead, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. All right. Well, that'll do it for us. It should be a nice weekend. Enjoy every activity that you have to go to. That'll do it for us. All right. That'll do it for us, everyone. Have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.